From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. 5 years ago today, President Clinton signed into law a bill overhauling the federal welfare system. The move changed the lives of millions of poor families. One of the most dramatic changes has been the increase in government spending on daycare. Government subsidies have more than doubled since 1996.
Despite more daycare options for mothers entering the workforce, there are a lot of kinks in the system. Red tape makes it hard to get vouchers for childcare, and the quality of the care is uneven. NPR's Tovia Smith has this report. It's part of our series on the impact of welfare reform.
To many who work in the field, this is the golden age of publicly funded childcare.
I need glue.
You know where the glue is. You can go get the glue.
At a daycare center in Boston's inner city called Nice, a three-year-old boy, elbow deep in paint and glitter, heads to the cubbies marked arts and crafts. In the center of the room, a gaggle of toddlers are doing a puzzle of the United States. And under the far window, two boys play a computer game.
Animals with fins. Animals with no fins.
Please sort the pictures.
Excellent.
Daycare staff hover over the kids, encouraging their exploration and enforcing the rules.
I'm going to shoot them up.
No more shooting.
You're just not just dropping off your kid and your kid is getting babysat. You know, that's not what's going on here. Your children are getting an education while they're here.
28-year-old Marquise Johnson Mills clutches her 4.5-year-old daughter Tajania in one hand and the day's art projects in the other as they head out the door. Mills started sending her daughter here after she went off welfare and started work as an office manager. This is exactly the kind of child care, high quality and expensive, that would have been out of her reach just a few years ago before she got a government subsidy to pay for it.
I couldn't even imagine without my voucher how I would have stayed employed in a school, honestly. I do feel lucky to have it. It's the reason why I've been able to keep working.
Like Mills, there are millions of families around the nation who began to get vouchers for child care as part of the 1996 welfare reform. Congress figured the only way to require welfare moms to work was to make sure there was someone to look after their kids. In the last 5 years, federal spending on child care doubled, and some states have poured in even more money themselves. The explosion of child care subsidies is seen as one of the major success stories of welfare reform, though Mark Greenberg from the Center for Law and Social Policy in Washington, D.C., says it's still just a first step.
We really have seen a dramatic improvement in the funding for the system. There is much more than there was 5 years ago, but it is still very short of what would be needed to help everybody who needs help.
Indeed, on any given day, moms looking for help with their babies pack the waiting room at the Boston office where child care subsidies are handed out. Most are on welfare or just coming off, and as long as they're complying with welfare-to-work rules, they will automatically get vouchers. But the priority put on these welfare moms means that thousands of other working poor families are getting squeezed out. They struggle with the same low-wage jobs and kids to support, but because they've never been on welfare, they get pushed to the bottom of a waiting list that in Boston runs 2 to 3 years long.
It's like a smack in the face. I feel insulted. I feel like, you know, I try to move forward and I can't.
Carmen Rivera, a strong, heavy-set 26-year-old, balances her 2.5-year-old son, Fernando, on her lap as she vents her frustration yet again to a supervisor here. When Fernando was born, Rivera was working as a clerk in the federal court in Boston, making just a few dollars more each week than she was paying for his child care. She was told she'd have to wait for a voucher because welfare moms got priority. For a year, Rivera struggled to make ends meet until finally she quit her job and moved in with her mother.
It's like, you know, it's humiliating. It's not fair. And I see there, like, somebody sitting home collecting a check, you know, all these little teenagers having babies, they get the voucher anytime they want. Just call and get the voucher.
Rivera says a social worker actually advised her once to go on welfare to get a voucher faster, but she felt it was the wrong thing to do. Others, however, have fewer qualms.
I did it because I needed child care, yeah. And that's the only way I could get it.
25-year-old Maria Santos had never been on public assistance, but when she was told it'd be years before she could get a voucher for her newborn daughter, Kayla, she went on welfare for 1 month just so she could go off and qualify for a child care subsidy before she went back to work.
You have to find one way or the other, a shortcut to do what you gotta do. And to be honest, that's what I did, and I'm not the only person that does it.
In fact, experts say it happens all the time. About a dozen states have wait lists made up almost entirely of non-welfare families. Gina Adams of the Urban Institute in Washington, D.C., says it's one of the most pernicious, unintended consequences of welfare reform.
It makes absolutely no sense. I mean, it completely contradicts, I think, the fundamental tenets of welfare reform, which is that we want to support families and help them stay off, keep off, never get on welfare.
Adams says states should treat all needy families equally, regardless of whether they're on welfare. A few states have done that, but it usually means a trade-off. In Illinois, for example, the state had to tighten eligibility down to the very poorest families. It's one of several dilemmas Congress will have to grapple with next year. That is, who should get first dibs on child care subsidies? Families who are trying to get off welfare? Families who are already working? Or, as Doug Besheroff of the American Enterprise Institute would have it, families who are simply the neediest.
Right now, what we're doing is not providing it for the poorest families. And that, to me, is the problem in the way the child care program has developed in the last 5 years.
Besheroff says the poorest mothers tend to work nights and weekends when conventional daycare centers are closed, and so they leave their kids with friends or family. But he says the rules make it next to impossible to use vouchers for that kind of informal care.
Even if it's your mother, she has to give her fingerprints and there has to be a criminal background check. Even if it's your sister, she has to be paid the minimum wage and you have to withhold taxes from her. That's enough to discourage anyone from applying for this stuff.
Did you go back to her and said, well, I'll take that appointment for next week?
The reception made the appointment with me.
Because you're not in her book for today.
Even for conventional daycare vouchers, the constant office visits and endless bureaucracy can often be overwhelming.
Okay, round four.
For the third time in as many weeks, Maria Santos has made the crosstown trek by bus to this Boston office to try to finish up her paperwork.
For me, I just wasted a month and a half just to get a voucher. I have to come here, just wait here. I got other things to do for my time.
But this Boston office is actually one of the more efficient ones. In other areas, experts say parents often have to take several days off of work just to get the voucher for childcare that's supposed to be helping them keep their jobs in the first place.
The eye got colors, now click on that.
That will change the color of his eyes.
Another issue sure to come up as Congress begins debate next year is the uneven quality of child care. The NICE Center in Boston, where Marquise Johnson Mills brings her daughter, is better than most. Mills says it shows in Tajania's progress.
She's writing, her fine motor skills do very well, she communicates very well. She can read by identifying pictures. She's done better at this daycare than she has at any other daycares that she went to.
But experts say a huge number of child care settings fail to meet even basic standards of child development or safety. So even if Congress does increase funding and offer more families a way to afford child care, they will only be helping families buy what's already out there. It may be enough to enable welfare moms to go to work, but experts say it often falls far short of what kids need to grow and learn. Tovia Smith, NPR News, Boston.